Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens all with you on a Ryder Cup Red Friday. Red Ryder Cup Friday, right? Have you guys seen the Christmas movies starting to show up on your queue and like Netflix? And
no, I mean, there was Christmas in July on Hallmark.
Is your tree up yet?
No, okay. Not yet.
Next week.
Next week.
Not yet.
Got to get through Halloween first.
Yeah, start to see those crazy Halloween decorations.
Oh, the ones over on Ward Parkway are the best. They put these full, like, not even life-size skeletons. They're like gigantic.
10-foot like ones.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
No. 100-foot ones. Like seriously, go down Ward Parkway, drive around by Loose Park, look at some of the front yards.
Okay, sweet.
They've got these massive skeletons. I say 100. It's definitely not 10. It's somewhere in between, like, I don't know, 25, 30, 40-foot high,
wow.
Like, huge skeletons in their yards.
There's this house I walk by on my route in downtown Lee's Summit that has just, like, it looks like the exorcist lady in his window upstairs, like in this glass opening.
Oof.
That's it. So, like, when you walk by and you look over, you're like, oh.
During Halloween or all year?
Well, I haven't noticed it until the other day, so, yeah.
Hey, young boy, come here. I've got some porridge for you.
I think I'll keep walking. It is that time of the day where we get into the script on a Friday where we do our best to plan what we think will happen. And, Mac, your name's at the top.
All right, my name is at the top. You know.
That's what I just said.
Mitch kind of... Sorry, getting music going. Mitch kind of made me not as confident, but you know what? I'm going to go with what I've got, right? Here we go. Gone back and forth on this all week, but the Chiefs are not losing two home games in a row, especially as underdogs. So this is the most complete we're going to have seen this offense, not only from a roster perspective, but from actually on the field play perspective. We've seen Tyquan get involved. Xavier's back. This run defense is porous. We're going to see some good runs from both Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Xavier Worthy's going to score. Pacheco's going to score. The defense is not going to be as good necessarily as people want it to be because Lamar is a cheat code. And so I wanted to get people prepared for that. Derrick Henry's not going to fumble every game. He's not going to fumble this Sunday. But the Chiefs will win in a tight game. They'll have to drive down the field at the end of the game to win it. Kelce will catch two clutch passes. The Chiefs will win 24-20, lower scoring than Mitchell just said.
Yeah, I think 30 is the safe number for the Chiefs, right? If you can get to 30, you're really feeling good about yourself.
Yes.
I think that works in any game in the NFL. So for me, the second half of last week's game was the breakthrough that the Chiefs needed on offense, and now they get to add Worthy back into the mix. You heard Mitch talk about that as well. That first drive in the second half was imperative for this team. The Chiefs will be playing with extra juice having Xavier Worthy back, and it opens up so much. We'll see the running game work. We'll see over 100 yards for the Chiefs, not counting Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards for this organization. Worthy will have a 45-yard or more reception and score, and Travis gets back into the end zone as well, atoning for the drop INT versus the Eagles 2 weeks ago. He needs to show big in this game. He had a rough one last week, had a rough one the week before. It's time to show up big for this game. No more yelling on the sidelines. Go out there, use that energy, and produce. The defense, I do believe they will force Henry to fumble. Chiefs win this game 35-0.
In the words of the great Jim Ross, I think this game is going to be a real slobber knocker. I think that the Chiefs get Thornton and Worthy going early. How they use Xavier will be interesting. Like, is he ready to get live action? Or is he just going to be a decoy? I'm yet to decide on what I think that's actually going to be, but we will see in this game. We find out early because Andy will always tell us in the plays, right? We know when he gets a new guy in his offense, the first ball goes right to him. When he gets a guy back, we're going to see if he's ready to go at Arrowhead on Sunday. Mahomes looks real good, like real good, I think, in this game. And has all these Norwals out there talking garbage that, you know, he's taking a tier down. This is Josh Allen. This is his league now. This is not Mahomes' dominant anymore. Well, it's time to put those people to bed and be quiet. I think the Chiefs D has a big turnover late in this game. What that turnover is, I don't know, but time will tell. And I see this one as I like it, 28-20 Ravens.
What?
Just kidding. I've got a 28-20 Chiefs in this game for Week 4's matchup.
I love the late turnover part of your script so much.
We've seen it twice for the Ravens. I don't know who's going to do it, but somebody's going to do it.
That's a key one. Be watching that game. 4 minutes or less, Ravens are going down the field. Interception, fumble, strip sack.
I mean, you want to see a guy like Karloftis step up, man.
That's the time.
I can't imagine any more time better than now than Ravens have the ball, down 8, 35-yard line, right there. Victory formation.
And he's so good at chasing the quarterback from his behind. Like, he's fast, so he can kind of chase him from the back, and I think that's his best-case scenario. With what we saw Lamar get sacked 7 times, at least 4 of them were him just standing in the line of scrimmage, someone from behind him chasing him and tackling him. So
the Chiefs, as Mitch and company were pointing out earlier, in the last 3 years, they're giving up less than 21 points per game.
18, yeah.
18-some points per game. Why isn't that talked about enough? Why don't we discuss that more? That's a hell of a run that this Chiefs defense has been on. It ain't stopping on Sunday. Okay? It ain't stopping on Sunday. These guys are pissed off. They're putting their foot in the ground, and they're going to continue to beat the Baltimore Ravens. It's time for this team to turn that corner. It started last week. They got to that red light. They're sitting there. They're waiting for that red light to turn green, and boom, there they go. Down the freaking street, leaving everybody in their wake.
The Ravens have given up 4 sacks on average a game.
That's a lot.
Lamar Jackson has been sacked 12 times in 3 games.
That's a lot.
7 of which came last week. But yeah, 10 times in the last 2 weeks, 12 times in 3 weeks he's been sacked.
And we have a defense that is arguably the best in the NFL. And if we've got the best defense in the NFL from a points per game perspective, why can't we do what the last 2 teams have done against Lamar Jackson, and that sack his ass?
From the 816, he's calling for 4 sacks and a turnover for the Chiefs defense and predicting 27-24.
If we have 4 sacks and a turnover, we win going away. We're leaving at the 2-minute warning. We're walking out of that stadium feeling really good if we have 4 sacks and a turnover on defense on Sunday. Do you guys agree with that? That's big. As Mitch talked about, he goes, we get 8 or 9 possessions in a game.
We'll see what that offense looks
like. You get 2 stops, you get a turnover. Yeah, that's feeling really good, man. That's feeling really good.
It's a good recipe. I will say to what Dusty said, I'm curious on what this offense is going to look like. We talked about how bad this Ravens defense is. I mean, what is the repercussion? What does Monday morning look like if we come in and this Chiefs offense couldn't get going? Like, what's the conversation then?
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens. Yeah, but you can't continue to, fall back on that, right? Like, everybody has injuries in the NFL.
Got to figure it out.
Like, this week, there's no excuse for the offense this week.
Nope.
Get it going.
You haven't had Rashee Rice for 16 weeks.
I mean, we haven't had Rashee Rice since week 2 of last year.
I mean, it was 4, but yeah.
Was it week 4?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's played in 3 weeks, 3 games in the last year and a half. Like, we got to stop using that as the fallback. We went 15-2 without Rashee Rice last year. Found ways to get it done without Rashee Rice last year. So you got two more games or so, three more games to figure it out with Rashee Rice. You know, yeah, Monday morning, if they lose and the offense doesn't produce, Rashee Rice is not the excuse. We have to see what happened, you know, before we can sit here. Because I would say right now, Andy didn't run the ball. It's calling it now. If they lose and it's an offense, Andy didn't run the ball. You got to run the ball.
Over under 2.5 sacks, the Chiefs get.
Get?
I'll take three.
So yeah, I'm gonna be aggressive. I'm going to take the over on this one. Yeah. Based on the numbers that Dusty gave, yeah, I think you have to look at the over on that one. This is up to the Chiefs defense. Man up, go get his ass.
I mean, there's an advantage there. To me, if you take all the advantages and disadvantages, there's more advantages towards the Chiefs side. One, it's a home game. Two, Mahomes. Three, Andy Reid. And then four, I think that the pressure to win this game is more on Baltimore. You take those things, you put them together, and then you face them, and you say, okay, that's where a little bit more of my confidence lies in the Chiefs. And I'm just, I know what the defense can do. What can the offense do? Because Xavier Worthy's back. Tyquan Thornton's shown that he's, you know, a diamond in the rough, is what Dana Hughes called him yesterday on Cody and Gold. And what that can do for everybody else. And then can 74 just get his ass in gear? Because guys, I'm not kidding you. I will lose my effing mind if they throw a deep ball to Xavier Worthy in the first quarter and he catches it for a 75-yard touchdown and there's laundry on the field and it's, you know.
You ain't going to be the only one, man. Like, that may be the breaking point for 76,000 fans at the game. I'm being serious
about
that.
And I have that fear in my head that's going to happen.
I know.
I'm trying to be a negative Nancy. I am worried to death that we see something like that.
Yeah, because, you're not wrong because his body of work has shown that's the case.
It's going to happen. Just depends on when.
Yeah, because the big play, holding number 74, ooh, false start number 74, man, lined up, you know, offsides number 74. You got to pull him out of the game at that. I don't know if we will hear boos louder ever and have before if there's a penalty on 74 that costs the Chiefs a big play.
Travis Kelce might leave in a motorcade.
I may leave. I mean, seriously, like Travis may just leave the game at that point in time.
He might have to.
For his own good.
Just go.
And I wouldn't blame him. I'm not! Enough! 74! Go to Lewisburg, dude!
Yeah, right. That is What's in the Script, presented by Foaling. Get your foal on. Knock that middle pin down on your first throw. Game's over. Taking a nice piece of, like a nice pie in there. Mm-hmm. Some pizza and foal. Foal around, find out. Coming up next, we give a Ryder Cup update here on 96.5 The Fan. Plus, we talk about how Tony G was
harsh
right
words.
About. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes the truth hurts. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear Mitch Holthus every Friday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
That's right. Right now, man, the early session not going in the United States' favor. A lot of people will be like, oh, you know, could have told you that. Last year in the morning session, the European team started off 4-0. Before that, dominant. 2021, the U.S. was up 3-1. 2018, 3-1. And then 2016, they were up 4-0. So still a ton of golf to play here as Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau looking to win the hole against Hatton and Rahm. John Rahm might have had the shot of the tournament already.
Oh, my God. That thing out of the rough.
He's from your neighbor's lawn that hasn't been mowed in 6 months because their house got foreclosed and put it within 10 feet of the green of the putt. And it's just, you know, just one of those things, man, where this is the best of the best of the best, sir. Rahm, Hatton, they are up 1 through 10. So they've made the turn in the opening group. The United States currently only winning one match in this first session in the morning.
They got to get their ass in gear.
Yeah, the Europeans of, you know, obviously Victor Hovland's team, they're up 5 through 8.
We can't lose to a country that's not as old as we are.
Fair points. But no, the Ryder Cup is awesome for those of you that don't watch golf. I know there was a text earlier that was like, great, golf, sweet. Wish you'd like pull this about sports that you don't care about. Well, the thing is, like, this is different. This is a different style of tournament. It's 3 days. It's, you know, obviously alternate shot, you know, foursomes here in the first day or two. And then Sunday, you hope that it's, you know, if you're an American, obviously, or you're Europe, you hope that you've ran away with it by then so you can sit back and relax. Mm-hmm. But for us that love sports and that love those moments, this is where, like, legacies are made, right? This is where you've seen in history, you can Google search it, like Ryder Cup memories, and it'll have those Sunday matchups of Nicholas versus, you know, Montgomery or whoever it might have been when they played back in the, you know, the days of the Ryder Cup. And, you know, the United States currently leads the overall Ryder Cup standings, I believe, at 27-15. Now, it's been alternate the last 4 Ryder Cups. USA won, the Europeans won, the USA won, and then the Europeans won the last one in 2023. When it was overseas. This one is in Bethpage Black. It is in the suburbs of New York. Public course, monster course, tough course. But this is just one of those things, man. It's like what you mentioned earlier, which I thought was a great analogy, which is, you know, the Four Nations hockey.
Yeah.
This is United States basketball in the Olympics.
Right.
This is, you know, Team USA in the World Cup, right? Mm-hmm. This is where a lot of guys that represent your country that maybe you don't even know who they are, right? Like, I didn't know much about the hockey players when they play the Four Nations Championship.
Right.
But then I knew who the Tkachuk brothers were.
Yeah.
And then I found myself watching hockey a couple weeks after it being like, where's those Tkachuk guys? Well, that one guy played hurt and he's out for the rest of the season, but he's playing with like a broken shoulder.
He had to beat up the Canadians.
Yeah,
you know?
Just to go out there and wrap yourself around the flag. And this is one of those things where, you know, I know Saturday and Sunday are flooded with college football and the NFL, but this game, this matchup, obviously on the East Coast, is an hour earlier for us because they were teeing off at, you know, 6 o'clock our time, which is obviously 7 over there in New York. But, like, this is one of those things where, like, I always get the question asked, Dusty, would you rather go to Sunday at Augusta or any one of the Ryder Cup matches? And it's tough, man, because, you know, I think that, you know, Magnolia Lane would be awesome to drive down. I feel like you still hear the piano, even though it's not being played.
There,
you
yeah.
hear it when you drive in. So it'd be tough to give up Augusta Sunday, but to go to a Ryder Cup where you can heckle, you can have fun, it's accepted. It's great. And I know there's some people that say, oh, Americans look bad. You know, the crowd's too much. That's what this is about.
But that's like, what sports is about. I mean, we see this all the time on Sundays in NFL venues and in college venues, right? We see the rowdiness of fans. And to me, like, I'm not a golf fan, you know that, but I'm a fan of this because it's us versus the world. Right. And that's what we can all rally around. And I think that's what's cool about this is you don't have to be a golf fan or a hockey fan or a soccer fan or anything like that to pack power and light and cheer on Team USA. And that's exactly what this is. I mean, it's a little bit different because it's not one of your 4 major sports that you watch on TV every night and whatnot. But this is still Team USA versus another, you know, another continent, another nation, Europe, right? So we want to go out there and take care of business. And I think as an American, you definitely get behind this and figure out what it means. I mean, this means a lot to win and to dominate the world. It's good to have those bragging rights. And it's good in sports, man. Like, ever since the USA beat, you know, the Russians in hockey back in 1980, we've taken this pride for our national teams. And this is exactly what this is. It just happens to be golf. It's not about the golf. It's about Team USA beating Team Europe and finding a way to win and, you know, get this thing back to the United States as a champion. That's what this is all about.
No doubt about it. This is the Cranberries get a remix in your head, Rory, not zombie. This was Ian Poulter. If you want to get really wrapped up in the American flag, this is what he had to say about the Americans. It's a bit much. Yeah, kiss my ass.
Well, I will just say, yes, that's what we are, though. This is, the stupidness does come out in America. Have you looked around? I mean, we are idiots. I mean, that's what we do. Have you seen the crowd as we talk? about? We have gentlemen dressed up like the bald eagle crowd today. Yeah. And then they got the guy from Scotland in a nice polo.
Yeah, you gotta be unique, man.
Yes, we are a little bit different, and we love it, and we embrace it, and we may be the bombastic group at the party and whatnot,
right.
But that's who we are, and that's who you have to be. You can't be somebody else, right? You can't be, you can't be fake. You got to be true to who you are, and in America, we're very true to who we are, and the taunting and the is all fun. I know it's not highbrow and all that kind of stuff. But back to your would-you-rather-go-to-the-Masters type thing, I'd rather go to this, and I'd rather go to the one in Phoenix, the Phoenix Open, right. And go out there and have fun, because those are parties. Those are fun. It's not, all about the, I better be quiet and pay attention and watch the golf while it would be great to go to the Masters. Having an event like this where it's a party and everybody's having a good time, that's what I'd like to go to.
And I don't
to.
Have to worry about being selected. So give you a scorecard recap here, and then we'll get back into the Red Friday edition of the Chiefs. Tyrrell Hatton, John Rahm are one up against DeChambeau and Thomas. Fitzpatrick and Oberg are four up against Scheffler and Henley. McIlroy and Fleetwood are five up through eight. The previous matchup, Fitzpatrick and Oberg, they are through nine up four. McIlroy and Fleetwood are up five through eight. And the one USA team that is up is Shoffley and Cantlay. They're up one on McIntyre and Hovland. So got to make some putts, got to make some noise, got to hopefully get out of here with a split, go 2-2, go in the afternoon session. Same groups will play again in the afternoon.
Okay.
And hopefully you can split there, get into Saturday, and kind of keep things close. But, yeah, the Team Europe, eight of the last 10 Ryder Cups have gone to the European team, two most recently to the United States, I believe in 2018 and 2021. 2019, 2020, whatever it was. I think they might have missed one year because of COVID. But either way, two of the last 10 have gone to the United States. The eight have gone to Team Europe. But that is a Ryder Cup update there for you, for all of you golf fans out there. I love you. I appreciate you. The other ones are saying, I'll stick to football and baseball. Get bent. We'll get to our Chiefs parlay.
Yeah,
exactly. We'll get to our Chiefs parlay here in a little bit later on today. But Tony Gonzalez had something to say about Russell Wilson. You would say that truth hurts when it comes to what he had to say about Russ Wilson, because, I think I'm still here. I think I might want to stay here. I got more left in me is what Russell Wilson basically said. And Tony Gonzalez says, if there was somebody who played himself out of the Hall of Fame, it's Russell Wilson. I mean, that's insane. I thought we had the audio. I couldn't find it. But
I can't find it either. I thought we did.
Either way you want to look at it, that is the quote. It says, Tony Gonzalez says, if there ever was somebody who played himself out of the Hall of Fame, it's Russell Wilson. Richard Sherman barked back with,
of course, Richard Sherman piles on.
He says, without that legendary defense in Seattle, he's been 4-11, 7-8, 0-3 to start with the Giants.
Yeah, it's been rough since he left Seattle. Everybody knows that, right?
Wilson.
But, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. Hearing Tony Gonzalez say those comments from a Hall of Famer, by the way, I think it's one of the harshest criticisms I've ever heard an announcer make in an NFL game on a player. And, usually when you're working for Amazon, CBS, all those places that cover the NFL, and you're working for an NFL broadcast, you're really not that critical, right? You can make some criticisms and whatnot, but the harsh criticism is normally left for us, the people on talk radio or in the newspaper, or however you want to put it, right? The guys who are employed by the NFL, because they always say these announcers are under the employment of the CBS, but, by production of the NFL or whoever, they get to select their guys, and they want it to be a good, family, fun broadcast, positive broadcast. You don't hear a lot of criticism. That comment by Tony Gonzalez last night about Russell Wilson is one of the harshest things I've ever heard on an NFL broadcast. And the reason it's harsh, Dusty, is because he has a really good point right now. Russell Wilson has accomplished so much, but what we've seen in Russell Wilson in the last 5 years of his career after he left Seattle is a major part of the story right now. And, you look at a guy like Russell Wilson, the glory days are very, very far behind. I mean, he hit that 30-year mark and he has kind of fallen off the cliff. If he stays around this league and continues to play and perform the way he is performing right now, and his performance continues to dissipate, it may be hard to get Russell Wilson into the Hall of Fame. I still think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. He put up fantastic numbers regardless of what defense he had. He still put up great offensive numbers. He went to back-to-back Super Bowls. He was a bad play call away from winning two Super Bowls. But I think right now, hearing Tony Gonzalez say that, you got to think if Russell Wilson continues on this path, he may play himself out of the Hall of Fame. I don't know that we've ever seen that happen before, where somebody plays themselves out of the Hall of Fame once they've kind of already made it in by their career. But what Russell Wilson is doing one hell of a job of trying to tell the folks who vote for him to get into Canton, pass on me. My whole career was not a Hall of Fame career. 5 years at the end is a long time to have a bad career from Russell Wilson.
I know a lot of people think the years that you're talking about that were great were really overrated. I mean, you mentioned the defense. Offense was really good, too, around him.
That's what I'm
great
saying.
Great around him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that offensive line was really good, but he still got sacked all the time. I know that's getting nerdy, but he was a terrible quarterback for his offensive line and still is.
Yeah, still
he does
is.
Not help
yeah.
his offensive line. He holds the ball too long. I don't know. I don't hate this take at all.
I don't hate this take. I'm kind of with it.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, the more I'm like, God, if he continues to go this way, maybe. Because you got to look at the entire body of work. You know, you're not a Hall of Famer based on, you know, 5 years of greatness and then 10 years of nothingness, right? So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they now vote. I still think he gets in because of the Super Bowls, but he's making a case for himself not to be in the Hall of Fame right now. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I don't. I'm going to say no.
Is Flacco a Hall of Famer?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Both with Super Bowl rings. I mean, Trent Dilfer's not a Super Bowl Hall of Famer. Brad Johnson's not a Hall of Famer.
For sure.
They have rings.
But this is a different era now where all of a sudden if you win a Super Bowl, you're considered better than Dan Marino. Right?
Yeah.
Like no, seriously, people lose their minds, you know?
You could say that Russell Wilson is the same as Brad Johnson. Like, they both had elite defenses, and all they had to do is go out there and play the game. Now, that's a little bit of a shade shot at Russ. But again, like, you think about that defense, man. Like, it was known as the Legion of Boom. Uh-huh. Like, that was a defense. It wasn't like, man, they got this defense, and dude, they got Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson lost them a Super Bowl. He threw an interception.
He did
in the
throw the interception,
I'm sorry,
too. Like, it was a terrible play call, but he threw it.
He's the quarterback. He could have done what Jameis Winston did and was like, hey, oh, man, we ain't doing that. We're running the ball in the middle. Like, I'm sorry. Let's ride.
Right.
Yeah. And also, I want to
ask that would have showed you leadership, too, if he would have done something like that.
I also want to have this conversation. How much of Russell Wilson's attitude and his demeanor and his ways, how much of that has kind of given shade? Because, look, what we found out is that when he left Seattle, they couldn't get a hold of him. Like, Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, he did not have their numbers.
No, they did not have their numbers.
He shunned them, and then what do you get? You get Tony Gonzalez saying he's played himself out of the Hall of Fame, and then Richard Sherman, who was his teammate, who apparently got his number lost from Russell Wilson's, you know, orthodox of numbers, was like, yeah, he rode the back of the defense. I mean, dude, your attitude kind of shifted your whole perspective of where you went.
Well, it's amazing how much winning covers up. Look at the Tyreek Hill situation here in Kansas City. They won. He was not a pain in the ass. He goes to Miami. They lose. We know what kind of pain in the ass Tyreek Hill is, right? We knew coming in Tyreek Hill was a pain in the ass, but the Chiefs did a really good job of making sure he wasn't a pain in the ass here in Kansas City. And then he goes to Miami. He's a pain in the ass. And Russell Wilson is kind of one of those guys when you're winning, everything looks good. Remember, he beat out a guy that they signed in the offseason to like a $40 million contract. Matt Flynn, I think his name was, to be the quarterback in Seattle. Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round, won the job, which was a brilliant move by Pete Carroll at the time. You know, I don't care that we paid this guy. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Juwan Taylor here. Let's go. They legitimately paid that quarterback, Matt Flynn, like $45 million because he had one great game with the Packers. And he came over to Seattle, got his ass. They allowed Russell Wilson to beat him out in preseason. And he took off and ran from there. And when winning was good, you didn't hear much about Russell Wilson. But once the losses started and then he went to Denver, you realize what a dork he is and how unrelatable he is, too. And if that's the guy that's leading a locker room of 52 other guys and he's, you know, talking about, you know, the nonsensical stuff that he's talking about, you don't relate to others. You're not a good teammate. You're not somebody that people want to rally around. And I think that's where Russell Wilson is right now. I don't think he's a guy that people really want to be a teammate with. You know, Richard Sherman has taken every opportunity to throw dirt on top of that grave for Russell Wilson. And, you know, when you're kind of, you know, nasty to people going up, when you need somebody to catch you on the way down, we've talked about it with Dabo Swinney and some of these other guys. Ain't nobody there to catch you. Like, there are people waiting to kick dirt on Russell Wilson's grave right now.
You had both these names in your important players this week at the Chiefs versus the Ravens as we swing over to that matchup. And Mitch Holtis, who was kind enough to join us in studio as he's on the show every Friday at 7:15, had this to say where it starts with Trey and Creed.
Pad guys, but they have their way of getting their point across. But it starts with them, I think, individually. And I'm not speaking for them here, but I know those guys pretty well. Mm-hmm. And it starts with my game. So I've got to figure out what I'm going to do and then try to influence everybody else. One of the positive signs has been the gradual improvement of Suamaitia at left guard. If you look at it, and I was working on this last night, is the fact that really from left tackle to all the way over to right guard, there's been no sacks allowed. And but now it's getting consistent in the run game.
So, again, we kind of saw this, but the narrative is flipped. Week one, we were told that the Chargers' offensive line was busted and they're going to move Alt over to left tackle. Mm-hmm. And their offensive line kind of said, F you guys, like, right. Watch this, right? And so there's that sort of situation. Now we go to this situation. And what have we been told? The Ravens' defensive line is absolutely beat up and you should take advantage of this, get, you know, win, get that push immediately, just be dominant. Well, it starts with Cray and Trey and Creed.
Mitch said Cray and Creed too.
Yeah,
I mean, he did. No, it's really become something that's very difficult. And Mitch Cray just said it, yeah, and just kind of continued on. I'm like, okay, he's saying it too. So it's not just Dusty and I. They can't say Trey and Creed.
Right.
It's Cray and Treed. We're all going with now, right? But no, it is up to them. I mean, that was a remarkable stat that the only guy who's given up a sack on the offensive line is Juwan Taylor. Yet here we are saying that Juwan Taylor is still going out there and doing a nice job when he's the only offensive, you know, lineman that has given up a sack. That was the most interesting thing that we took away, I think, from Mitch this morning. Everybody leading up to Juwan Taylor has been sackless this year, except that's sackless. And then you got Juwan Taylor, who's given up sacks out there. So he's not even fitting the faux narrative that maybe Mac and I have created over the last year for Juwan Taylor, right? The four other guys.
Surprised you guys didn't wear your Juwan Taylor jerseys.
I thought about it. Mac and I decided not to.
I don't like showing up early on a Friday.
Because we're living here in Juwan Town.
No, we definitely are not. You know,
all the coaches are.
Yeah, well, they are right now. But, I mean, like, it's got to give, man. One way or the other, either Juwan Taylor goes out there and plays a perfect game this weekend and balls his ass out, or Jalen Moore is going to get out there and he's going to play, and we're going to see what he had. Otherwise, you wasted $10 million if we're going to continue down this route.
Is Juwan Taylor the starting right tackle for the Chiefs all season?
I hope not.
Bob, this week it'll go a long way in determining that, but I think it will go a long way. I do believe with all of my heart, Andy Reid's the best coach we've ever seen in this game. If this guy can't go out there and do what he needs to do and it costs this team anything, I just don't see how, for the mental well-being of the rest of your players, coaches, and fans, you can continue. Because Juwan Taylor's play right now is having a negative mental effect on everybody associated with the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Mitch Holtis on Juwan Taylor.
You know, he's done a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you just can't ignore the fact that right now he's number one in the league in penalties with six. And you can't – he's just got to tighten the screws here. And I know he's trying to get advantage against pass rushers. That New York Giant front now.
It's one of the best in the NFL.
Oh, my gosh. Those guys are good. And Brian Burns, I would take him today, tomorrow, today. And the next day. Yep. All right. Still, he's looking at an edge, man. I got to gain a half-second edge here to try to win this. Not now, man. You got to lock in and line up correctly, do your job like everybody else, and get after it. But he's done it. He's done it. We just got to have him do it now in a game like this, because this game will be razor, razor thin.
That's what I said, man. Cigarette type game. After it's over, you're Ben Affleck's meme where you're outside and you got it down to your waist. You're looking to the sky going, Lord, please help me. Because, again, like, I hope that the conversation that Andy Reid had with this man was not, you know, hey, you're going to be all right, buddy. You'll be okay. Go out there and be you. I hope it's like, you know, the stern Andy that we hear all the time about, like, oh, you mess up. You don't want to hear Andy. Like, Travis Kelce said it on the podcast. Like, yeah, well, when I mess up. And then even Jason Kelce's like, yeah, it's when Andy gets mad, when he's there, like, you don't want to be there. And I hope that that's what it was, because this can't keep happening. And I will lose my ass if there's a deep play touchdown. Holding 74. Offense. Replay, third down.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Well, right. Like if he gets called for a big penalty like that and somebody melts down and walks out of the stadium or something, like, and just quits, you know, in the middle of the, I don't blame them for that, because that's the mindset that were all in. And yep. and you've got this, you know, Twitter account out there called NFL Ref Stats, and they've got, you know, for the group this week, that's Clay Martin is the official. The Chiefs are 7-0 when Clay Martin refs their games, but 40% of their penalties are called via false start and offensive holding in 2025. I mean, like, this is the ref crew.
Shiza.
So maybe Andy set this up on purpose to get a holding penalty and whatnot. So the Ravens are the only team to not have accepted an offensive holding penalty in 2025, too. So they're not doing a lot of holding. Maybe that changes this week. This crew likes to call a lot of holdings and false starts. Juwan, they're going to be looking at you, man.
Well, let's hopefully get over it. Coming up next, we do our Friday Chiefs parlay. Two of the same, one different. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
United States of America is absolutely getting their ass whipped at the Ryder Cup. It is not good. Two European teams up 4, 1 through 10, 1 through 11, and Rom.
Say that again?
Okay, so 3 European teams are winning.
Okay.
To the 1 United States team winning.
Okay.
Rom and Hatton are up 2 on DeChambeau and Thomas. They just took my graphic away, but I got it right here on my phone. So to give you a Ryder Cup update, it's not pretty for the United States in the morning session. You've got Hatton and Rahm. They're up 2 through 12. Fitzpatrick and Oberg, they're up 4 through 11. And McIlroy and Fleetwood, I believe, are up 5 through 10. And Schauffele and Cantley are the only American team up. They're up 1 against McIntyre and Hovland.
It really takes the taunting down a notch. You're getting your ass kicked.
Well, and that's harder. And that's what they tell you, man. You want to silence a crowd, go up there and shut them up.
Well, right? It's true.
And Baltimore comes into Kansas City and the first play is Zay Flowers over the top for 65 yards and a touchdown, those homes of the Chiefs guys, it's going to be, shoot. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. And then the Chiefs would score and you bring everybody back together. But that's the way it's going right now. It ain't good on American soil for Team USA at the Ryder Cup.
Can we get a redo on this one and start this thing over?
Yeah, you get an afternoon session.
Afternoon session.
But you don't want to be down 3-1.
No.
You want to be 2-2. Now, if it is 3-1, then you got to go out there and you got to win 3-1, even this thing up, get to Saturday, and we do it all over again. So, but yeah, Team Europe is kicking some serious ace.
Mm-hmm.
So every week we give you a parlay, on Friday. So that should be kind of a fun way to do it. You can either, you can follow or you can fade, and you'd be winning if you would say, which I don't, you can't really like, I don't know. You could take the under, you can't really go against Bob, cause it's not that capability, but we do it every week. Mac, Bob, myself, we give you a leg. We put them together. It's a 3-leg parlay. We give you the odds. You can either fade or you can follow it. Bob, what do you got this week?
Well, I got Travis Kelce anytime touchdown plus 175.
Man, that number's getting bad.
Well, no, it's still not plus 180 like it was on opening
is
night.
That it was opening night.
It hasn't been back to that one yet. But, I mean, look, dude, it's time. It's time to make up and make amends for that Philadelphia game. It's time to make amends for melting down on the sidelines for 3 straight games, even if Juwan Taylor may have caused it. Go out there and use that energy, catch a touchdown pass. Let's go, Travis.
I mean, yeah, he should have 3 right now.
He should.
He's been in the position. He's gotten the ball.
Yeah.
Just has not executed. He has not finished the plays. And you got to think, okay, the greatest or at worst second greatest tight end of all time is going to figure that out. Right? He's going to remedy that. He's going to rectify that.
He's
going to get
second,
in the end zone.
Who's the number one in your book?
Gronkowski. Well,
yeah, I would say he's
Gronk
the first.
Still, but okay. I was thinking Tony G, like because of we talked about him this morning and like, yeah, okay, Gronk.
Peak Gronk. Yeah. Career, Kelce.
Right.
But for me, on the Friday Chiefs parlay, give me going back to the well.
God, dude. I'm every time.
Going back to the well.
Week one, Isaiah Pacheco. Week 2, Kareem Hunt. Week 3.
Kareem Hunt worked. Isaiah Pacheco has not. We're going to go back to it, though. This run defense is bad. I think he's going to get... I think Kareem Hunt and Pacheco are basically just going to get 10 carries each, pretty much each week. They're about the same. They're going to get 10.
Maybe that's all they're capable of right now.
Exactly. That's all they trust. That's all they're capable of. So Pacheco over 34.5 at minus 114 on both FanDuel and DraftKings, that's pretty much the odds. Is minus
so that's
114.
Low. That the odds, negative number, means they think that it's going to happen,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So that's a good sign. That means, like, okay, maybe they will try to run the football this week if we're getting, you know, negative money on, you know, over-unders at 34.5. I mean, that's not a big number, but I think for a Chiefs running back at this point,
yes, exactly.
It sure seems like it is a big number.
Well, if he had 10 carries for 35 or 3.5 yards a carry, it's not the worst. It's not great, but...
No,
it's not great.
It's not great.
But it's a first down.
It's a first down and 3 carries.
You could also have that on one play.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah, you'd love that. He runs all the way.
I know that I'm hard.
First play of the drive, he runs all the way to the 1 yard line, gets tackled, throw touchdown, Kelsey.
Boom.
All right, Chiefs just win because the last leg of the parlay is me on the money line for the Chiefs at plus 126.
Go.
That's good juice, man. If you really believe in your team and you want an extra boost to what you want to do, I might just lay a Benjamin on the Chiefs money line.
Love it.
I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes now 0-2 as an underdog at home. That's got to change. You're playing a beaten team mentally, physically, everywhere. You're at home. They're on a short week. Come on, man. It's in Arrowhead, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're back. We've been away. We're home. We've been away. We're home. This is 325. This is Nance and Romo. This is Arrowhead. You got Xavier Worthy back. Full week of practice. Actually doing more than he did the last week. Because a lot of people have been like, how do you know he's playing? He's playing.
Yeah.
He's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to be in there. I don't know how much he's going to play. I mean, I have no clue, but I know that he's going to be playing. And I like that money line juice. I like plus 126. So Pacheco over 34.5 from Dr. Mackenstein. A Kelsey anytime touchdown from Dr. Bob at plus 175. And then myself, Dr. D, that maybe not, Chiefs money line plus 126. You add all that together. This is weird.
It's very weird.
I don't understand.
We need to go ask
this.
Alex this because on FanDuel, the three legs are plus 595.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you put those same numbers in with the same odds, per se,
Are they the same odds too?
I mean, legitimately,
like it's what Mac. I think it was. He said it was plus 125 money line for the Chiefs on FanDuel
as opposed plus to plus
126. Okay, so it's the
and
same.
And the Kelsey anytime touchdown was plus 170 instead of 175.
But that shouldn't make this big a difference, right?
Because on DraftKings it's plus 675.
That's take it on DraftKings.
Yeah,
it's an 80-point difference,
right?
From FanDuel to DraftKings.
Just think about that. Let's say you put a $10 bet on it, you win $59.50. You put a $10 bet on the DraftKings one, you win $67.50.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Hello.
Yeah,
I don't understand that, right?
Yeah.
Usually you see the, like, I'm always impressed that 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000, every sports book is the same. So I've always wondered, like, is there a, you know, when they find a new pope and they put the white smoke up in the air, they call it like a conclave or something like that. Do they have a conclave of sports book guys like on Sunday night, Monday morning? I'd love a behind the scenes thing of that, of how all this comes out, like how they create the odds and how they're all relatively exact among each other when there's so many different entities and so many different states and so many different places where you can now go make these bets. And for all intents and purposes, except for this one, it's like a Major League Baseball umpire. When it's off, you go, oh my God, that guy blew a call. You don't recognize the 99 great calls that he made, right?
100%.
Same thing with this. I'm like, this is off a little bit. But all the time, these odds are identical across the board. I would love to know how that happens and how that takes place. Is there a conclave every Sunday night to talk about NFL or maybe there's a conclave every night with these guys? I just don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's weird because even the touchdown odds for Kelsey, I said plus 175 and 170. The 170 is on DraftKings. It's more juice on the FanDuel, but if you look at the parlay, it's way more juice for DraftKings when you put all three together. So
maybe
it's
there's some sort of FanDuel or DraftKings parlay booster that they use. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there to figure out how it's so different.
Yeah, they're calculating it way differently.
That is interesting.
But this could be our first winner here, guys. Come on. We're 0 for 3.
Yeah, we're not asking for a lot in this game.
We're not.
I mean, we're asking for 35 yards rushing from a running back.
Come
we're
on.
Asking for a touchdown from a Hall of Fame tight end, and we're asking for a win at home.
Get a win, damn it.
Come on.
It's not that hard. It's not like we're asking them to go out there and reinvent the wheel or something like that. This is basic stuff.
Can somebody make a sign this weekend that has our parlays in the crowd and then check each box as it happens?
Do
and
it.
Then just put 965 the fan. And when you put the fan, put the arrow pointing to you.
Heck yes.
Ka-ching.
No, I'm gonna tail us this week.
Let's go.
Yep. I didn't last week, but I feel good about this.
This seems like a winnable one for us. This is
a good
week.
Threesome.
And, I mean, that's a really good threesome. And I'll be honest with you, like, the two of those things have to happen this week. We've got to be able to run the ball effectively.
Yes.
Right? Like, we're not asking for 1,000 yards rushing in one game. We've got to be able to run the ball effectively. And maybe at the end of the day, the numbers don't look sexy, but you know an effective running game if you see it. Like, if we're running the ball effectively and Patrick's at 300 and 310 yards or something, that means the running game did a nice job that day, right? I mean, for you're looking at it now. That means the running backs did a good job. They've got to do a good job for the Chiefs to have a chance to win this game on. So they've got to go out there and be a good running back in this one.
If they combine for over 80 yards, you happy? But Kareem Hunt and Pacheco, that is, on the ground?
No, I think you need
100.
I would like, but against again, circumstance, defense. You know, of the game. And Dusty's right, too. Circumstance says in this game, their defense can be run upon.
Yeah.
If they lose the game and they only have 80 yards rushing on like 12 attempts, now we're talking about Andy Reid.
Yes, 100%.
Now we're going, Andy, what were you doing in that game?
The Baltimore Ravens give up 149 yards a game. That's 30th best in the NFL. No, I would not be happy with 80.
No, 80's not enough. It just isn't. You've got to run the ball.
I don't want 45 from Mahomes to count as that.
No, that doesn't count. No, that does not count.
No, I want a absolute onslaught of running the ball. Like, I want to go up 14-3, start the third quarter, and then just slow death of running.
Pound
here's
it.
Six, here's four, here's
right.
five, here's six, here's three.
Mm-hmm.
Boom!
Run the clock.
21-3.
Don't let them back on the field. Death by 1,000 paper cuts, that kind of thing. Like, we need that. Let's go.
I know that I'm hard.
If I can guarantee
you. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Do the Chiefs rush for 120 yards or Juwan Taylor's penalty free? Which are you taking?
Juwan Taylor's penalty free.
I am too, because I think that's harder to do.
Coming up next, we get to Sean Smith. He joins us every Friday at 9 o'clock. Buckle up, Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.